It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground. And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case, but Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom, he loves Kansas City, and he hopes that you'll rally to his support.
So that was the Chiefsaholic lawyer, I don't know, what's it been, 6 months ago?
Maybe.
Something like that.
One of my favorite stories in this show's history is the very beginning of the Chiefsaholic storyline, which was people were sending text into the text line being like, hey, man, this Chiefs superfan is missing. Have you guys heard anything? Can you get the word out?
Yes.
Only to find out he had been arrested for bank robbery, only for them for him to later escape.
Yep.
Then
cut off the ankle bracelet.
And get sentenced tomorrow. And incredible story.
The fact that he's getting sentenced on game day, that adds to the whole story, I think. Honestly. Like, that's like the final touch when he finds out if he's spending, you know, 10 or 20 years behind
bars. Adds to the whole mystique.
But the fact
it?
That that's happening, man, oh, man. Someone says the cadence of the speech makes me angry. I mean, the attorney, that's an all-timer. That's an all-timer. And I'm sure he's a very good attorney. Someone at one point texted in and emailed our boss and said, hey, you shouldn't give this attorney a hard time. And I said, hey, we never doubted that he's a good attorney. But just saying, like, that, those words spoken on the courthouse steps, it would make me question a little bit, maybe, in Cody's case. So we got Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
Are we talking about who I think we're talking about?
He gets sentenced tomorrow, Nate. Did you see?
On opening night?
I know,
opening
that's what
night, we're saying. He's getting between, his lawyers want 10 years.
Oh, boy.
The prosecutors want 20. I have said, as a fair compromise on opening night, offer the man 15. You know? In honor of Patrick Mahomes starting his defense of the three-peat, offer the man 15 and lock it in.
What could he get 13 in honor of Ms. Swift?
I just want to know. Basically, the sentence will determine whether he'll have any opportunity ever to see Patrick Mahomes play a football game in person.
With good behavior.
I don't know if you get good behavior on bank robbery. I don't know.
I can't speak.
I have
that.
No idea.
It's one of my favorite.
That
moments.
Feels like the violent crime. Time.
Right, right. It feels like one of my favorite moments in a show called Better Call
sure.
Saul. The spinoff or, you know, the behind the story of Breaking Bad with Saul Goodman is just like, you know, I'm not giving too much away, but one of his best lines in the entire series of the show is, well, you know, with good behavior. That sentence can always get reduced, my friend. Can always get reduced. So who knows? I give Patrick at least, you know, another maybe 8-10 years of his prime. So maybe
he might get the back end.
Maybe on the tail end.
He needs that Tom Brady career. He needs to play
right.
45. He's got to.
My guess is in the federal penitentiary, the FM signal gets into there a little
sure.
bit better now.
Oh,
so
for sure.
He can,
yeah.
So shout out to Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing I would tell Patrick, which I need to say to his face more than more than anybody is, hey, man, if you're going to do this till 45, okay, I want you to continue to communicate with Brittany, okay? I want you to continue to be there for your kids. We have an example for you already. Don't fall down those similar pitfalls that Mr. Tom Brady is just now experiencing. So who knows? I think it's definitely for sure that Patrick wants to play at least until 40. After that, then I think you probably – then it's understandable to be like, okay, let me reassess, I should say, after every season.
Especially if you know there might be a $500 million broadcasting deal at the end of it. That would be the hardest thing. Now, I'll say, the people who are truly great at the job have a different level of competitiveness than others. Because Tom Brady could have made that money anytime.
Right.
And he kept playing. I think it's the same reason, like, it'd be real easy for Travis Kelce to be like, you know what? I'm good. I'm fine. I just leased my podcast for $100 million. They only got that thing for 3 years.
That's crazy.
There'd be another payday after this one.
The right.
trailer for my new TV show just came out today. I'm probably fine.
Yes.
But it's also, like, we were talking about Travis Kelce earlier. I think if you look at his number, like, so right now, it depends on the book you go to, but on FanDuel, his over-under is 830.5, a number he has only not surpassed the year he tore his ACL.
Right.
His rookie season.
Season, yeah.
They are far too low on Travis Kelce. I still think his peak this season, he's capable of 1,300 yards. I think he'll land in the 1,100 range.
Yeah,
but I don't think 13's out of the question, like a 0%.
Right. And Travis has not given us great details, but guys, you know, he's been very deliberate. Even yesterday at the press conference, he was very deliberate in telling us how dedicated he's been to managing all of this, right? And a part of that is his overall conditioning. How do you train? How do you get your nutrition right? You know, obviously there's a sleep studies involved in all of this, but he's more healthy than he was last season.
By a lot.
And he still led them in receiving yards, which tells you the burden they put on this man.
Second in the NFL tight end still.
Yes. One of the biggest, you know, receiving burdens on a 34 going on 35-year-old with nagging injuries over the course of the entire season. And, oh, by the way, my teammates aren't catching the football who, you know, play the
I'll say his life's going to be easier this year on the field, I believe, big time.
It could be, for sure, especially if Rashee Rice – continues to go down the progress he's been having at training camp. He's probably been their best receiver in training camp and in the preseason. We all know what Xavier Worthy can do, and so I'm eager to see how they're going to try to get him open deep tomorrow night. But all those things should lead you to be in one-on-one matchups or wide open in zone coverage on every third down because he's that good at the position. I had to remind myself yesterday, because I haven't rewatched the AFC Championship game. It's been a while.
I haven't either.
I just went through the box score, because I was also trying to say, kind of to your point, Alex, how different the offense will be this season from last year, considering it's the same opponent in Baltimore. They threw the ball to Travis Kelce 11 times in that game. He caught all 11.
He was so good in the postseason, man.
He was absurd against the Ravens, and now you're telling me he might have more space, he might have less double coverage because the safeties are worried about getting beat over the top, at least, you know, when you're trying to move the football down the field.
And the whole story was, well, Kyle Hamilton, finally they got a guy who can slow down Travis Kelce. Yeah. He got fried in that game.
Yeah.
And poor man got picked on.
And it wasn't pretty, right? Like, he was always in the picture just getting the ball caught by the other guy.
Oh, he was close.
He's supposed to
not close enough.
Yeah, so I don't know if they have a great answer tomorrow night, that being the Baltimore Ravens, but yeah, if you told me Travis Kelce had 1,100 yards, once again, didn't have to play in the regular season finale because you kind of already know what the seeding is. Who knows, maybe the Chiefs get the one seed again. Then that will be a successful season, and of course, if he gets those – whatever week it is, if he gets the week 18 or if he gets that, you know, wild card week off, it puts you in a great position to go towards the three-peat in a way that no other team that's been a back-to-back champ has had before. No other back-to-back champ has had the best tight end in the league, and that's one of the reasons why the Chiefs have a better chance than some of the eight teams that have had the opportunity before them.
One of the other things that I'm excited about now suddenly is the running back room. And at some point, maybe Clyde gets back in the mix. We know he's going to start on the NFI list. You and I, we had talked about that before.
Yeah.
But because each back seems to fit the role you need, like you got Perine can be the receiving back. He can take on the McKinnon role. Carson Steele can be short yardage guy for you. Yep. Isaiah Pacheco can kind of do everything. And I still want to remind people, they talked up how much better of a receiver he might be this year, too. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that happens, if they actually put him in the slot as much as they say. But this running back room, I actually feel really good about it heading into the season.
They got a gift by the Denver Broncos, man.
I mean, dropped in their lap. It was the exact type of running back they needed.
Yeah, they got a gift. And sometimes that happens in the league, right? My surplus may actually benefit you more than even we anticipate, even though we're division rivals. So Perine is going to play tomorrow night. I think he's going to be pretty good. You know, I imagine Andy Reid has a couple screen passes for him for this game, just to keep the Baltimore Ravens defense somewhat honest in terms of their pass rush. But, yeah, Pacheco should have 1,000 yards this season. Pacheco has been building towards being the true workhorse of the offense. And I don't know how many touches Carson Steele will get, but it'll be fun, right?
Like, I bet he'll get one full drive to himself.
It might be like three touches. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, do I quietly want the Chiefs to have a couple 3-and-1 or 3rd-and-1s just to see?
Or 3rd-and-goal from the 1?
Right, just to see, like, do they put him out there just to be like, hey, at least Baltimore has to worry about that.
Why do I get the sense that he, you know, the same shovel pass they have Travis run that kind of like goes, you know, right behind the center and just kind of like tucks it? I feel like they're going to run that with Carson Steele.
I think they'd I'd
like it.
Yeah, I think they'd like him in eye and then just do the fullback handoff to Carson Steele by the goal line.
And, like, try to maybe do a pitch option sort of.
Well, they'll have plenty of
creativity around
it.
Yeah, I mean, there's – yeah, if we could do this in a matter of minutes, I can't believe what that whiteboard looks like where it just says all of these plays are designed with Carson Steele, which, again, he's an undrafted rookie. He was the darling of the preseason, right? It's really hard to evaluate running backs until you see him in a game. But
they can come from –
anywhere. And, man, he's good. He's good. So now having Pacheco and Carson Steele and having a veteran and Samaje Perine, who all of a sudden can, you know, do some things that Jet McKinnon did last year, could be that, you know, veteran, poised, you know, just nice replacement player that, you know, we've seen before in the past with Clyde Edwards-Helaire at times. Hey, at some point, the Chiefs hope that Clyde is going to be back, so you'll have four running backs at your disposal if that is indeed the case and everybody stays healthy. But this running back room looks a lot better now, even with Clyde on the non-injury list. It looks a lot better than it did starting training camp. I mean, they basically told Denarik Prince, no thank you. Like, we're good. Like, so they don't have to rely on a guy who really had no NFL experience going into this season, and you've replaced him with a dude that's a 7-year veteran who can give you plenty of production as a third down running back.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with us here. We're at Rally House, Oak Park location, getting set for the start of this NFL season. And we're here till 2 o'clock today. You still have some time to come in to register to win a couple of Chiefs prize packs. We got some folks doing that right now here on 96.5 The Fan. So the positive end, we're kind of positive vibes there with the running back. What about cornerback number two? Because Steve Spagnuolo once again said it's an unanswered question. I think the depth chart has Jalen Watson, but that doesn't mean anything right now, right?
Or
does?
It means something.
Okay.
It definitely means something. I think that what that sort of indicates to us is at least Jalen Watson might get the first opportunity at the starting role. And if that doesn't go well, then, hey, Joshua Williams, who knows, maybe even Nazi Johnson. It's hilarious that Spags is so comfortable now that he'll just tell us, yeah, I have no idea, guys. Like, we'll just figure it out on game night. And you're like,
I always like that. Spags has always been honest.
He is.
He's so great about it. There is a concern because, you would like everybody to at least know their roles going into the season. And this is the only part of the defense where it's hard to say, like, okay, well, if we don't know who our starter is on the other cornerback spot, does that mean McDuffie has to be exclusively on the outside? Can we move him to the nickel if we had, I don't know, two viable other corners like Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson? But if you don't know your role, then you're going to basically spend the first quarter of the season, the first four or five games, really trying to figure that out. I know they played Jalen Watson in the preseason finale. He did not look good. But that was the first football game he had played really since the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully he knocked the rust off and he's got his conditioning, under him. But I do believe that Jalen Watson will probably get the first opportunity because I think there is some truth to the depth chart. And Joshua Williams never did anything in training camp or preseason to say, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the one you should trust the most alongside McDuffie.
So I'll treat that. I'm going to treat that position, I've decided, like wide receiver last year, in the sense that if you know who you are by week 14, I'll let it go. Like,
oh, okay.
If you need some time in the season to sort out who's the best. Look, week one, they thought Tony was the best and MVS was the second best. And they're like, no, that's right. And by the end of the season, they had settled into the correct formula.
Yes.
Which was Kelsey, you're one, Rashee, you're two, you know, and
everybody else, just
get out the way.
Please catch the ball once.
Well, like, and then maybe I'm just overconfident because I view this like a bye week for Andy. The first two games of the season should be incredibly difficult for Kansas City, but I actually think it lined up incredibly well. Both games at home.
Yep.
You get the Ravens on an infinite break. You get the Bengals on a 10-game break.
Yeah, you get a 10-day preparation.
Do you realize what Patrick Mahomes' stats are in week one?
He has pretty good.
295 yards a game.
Ooh.
20 touchdowns. One interception. That was the one from Tony last year.
Yes, that was the one that literally
went through Tony. He's 5-1. So if Tony catches the ball, he's 6-0 with 20 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 300 yards a game in week one. If you give that man time to prepare, he eats you alive. And I know the Ravens are a little bit different, but maybe I'm overly confident. Nate, you tell me if I'm wrong.
No, I think it's totally reasonable because, I mean, they went against a divisional opponent in 2018, right? Put 38 on the Chargers' head. To start his career as the starter, right? We all know what happened a couple years ago when they played the Arizona Cardinals, and the big question was, and I remember being there, was like, okay, it's first game without Tyreek Hill, how's it gonna look? Oh, they destroyed the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Cardinals are not the same caliber of opponent as like the Ravens are now, but I think the Ravens are somewhat similar to the 2021 season when they did have Tyreek Hill, when they played the Cleveland Browns at home. And it was very clear that day that, okay, Cleveland's good. Cleveland should probably be a playoff team. You could say much of the same for the Baltimore Ravens. But, yeah, that guy understands all the preparation. You've given him new weapons now. Travis Kelce is healthy, which was not the case, obviously, in week one a year ago. And they have one of the best coaches in all of football history in Andy Reid. So, why shouldn't you be confident, right? Pacheco, healthy. Travis Kelce, healthy. Rashee Rice.
Missing Hollywood. But
way better. You're missing Hollywood, but that's the reason kind of why you drafted, you know,
Xavier
Worthy, right? Is to, hey, man, that 4-2 speed is legitimate, and we can just use him almost as a decoy for half the game because you might be afraid to let us go over the top because in one play, you know, 6 points can go on the board. So I understand that there is some concerns with Kingsley Suamataia, the rookie starting left tackle. This will be his first NFL experience. But there's no quarterback who better mitigates negative plays than Patrick Mahomes. So even if the rookie messes up, which is natural.
You might not know.
Right, because Patrick might scramble, extend the play, and oh, by the way, that's another first down. So the guy comes in extremely prepared, and he understands the significance of being on the stage. The only game on in the NFL tomorrow to kick off the season. So I'm expecting a pretty good performance from the offense. It's just kind of to what we talked about earlier, is the secondary going to be an issue, particularly in the cornerback position? And, hey, will Chris Jones being on the field this time
help?
That
should help.
Help mitigate the fact that you don't have L'Jarius Sneed.
We've got Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with us as we're at the Rally House location in Oak Park. Of course, our conversations with Nate, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Kingsley Suamataia also making his NFL start, right? And I think it speaks to the confidence that maybe the organization has and just all of us by watching preseason and training camp. Like, I get the sense nobody's really all that concerned about the left tackle spot. We brought up earlier that the left tackles for Mahomes in Super Bowls, other than Mike Rimmers when they were also without the right tackle.
Correct.
Other than that, I mean, it's not like Eric Fisher was the only, did he win an All-Pro at one point in time?
He was a Pro Bowler.
The only guy that was at that level. Everybody else, no disrespect to them, they were spot starters.
Now, to be fair, Orlando Brown's been a multiple-time Pro Bowler.
Okay.
But I would say at their peak, Eric Fisher was the better player.
Yeah. Yes. My point is just that, like, Kingsley, I feel like nobody's really all that concerned. Is that because, to his credit, what he has done? Is that because the interior of the offensive line is just so damn good anyway?
True. Yeah, very true. No, I think that's with Joe Tooney, the left guard coming back, what we believe fully healthy. Obviously, he practiced this entire week Him coming back should help Kingsley Suamati'i a lot, because there's an argument that Joe Tooney, you know, at the peak of his powers, is one of the best guards in the NFL. So, you know, they're going to have multiple tight end sets. So they're going to have, you know, they're not going to put him on an island, I don't think, too much, right? At least to start the game, you'll have some quick passing just to get him in rhythm, get Patrick in rhythm. You know, they're obviously going to use Pacheco and Samaje Perine to some extent. So I think the coaching staff has proven in previous Super Bowls that, hey, we can scheme around not having the best tackles in the world, even though the Philadelphia Eagles led the league in sacks, you know. So Baltimore has a decent pass rush. They don't have a star, right? I'd be a little bit more concerned if, like, Myles Garrett was across the line of scrimmage. Maybe, you know, Nick Bosa, which, you know, Kingsley will see in a couple weeks. But for right now, he's done everything that they've asked of him. He's more athletic than just about everyone not named Eric Fisher. And I think there's a chance for him to be even more athletic than Eric Fisher is once he gets to, you know, sort of the prime of his career for Kingsley. So if Patrick feels comfortable, if it really wasn't a competition in training camp, which it wasn't, then that means he got every repetition, every snap with the ones in the preseason to prepare him for tomorrow night. And if he does well, and if Xavier Worthy does well, and say they win comfortably, then they have recreated another just explosive spacecraft that, you know, could set the NFL on blaze. After last year, they were known for their defense. I think if the two rookies really do work out, man, this offense can go back to being what it was in 2019. Hell, maybe some different version of 2018. Not 50 touchdowns. I don't think that's ever happening again. Mostly because Orlando Scandrick was a starting cornerback during that season. So you kind of had
to need that many points.
You kind of had to score,
yeah. It's too good.
But, like, you know, if you're up 10 in most of these second half games, it'll be very reminiscent of 2019.
We'll continue talking with Nate Taylor if you're willing to hang around for a while. I want to get your perspective on the NFL as a whole with some other storylines heading into the start of the season as well. As we've got Nate Taylor hanging out with us here on 96.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Five the Fan. Back here on Cody and Gold, it's a Red Wednesday in Kansas City. Broadcasting from Rally House, Oak Park, across from Oak Park Mall. It is the place to go to gear up before the start of this NFL season. Maybe you need some stuff for the tailgate. We know you're going to be out there. Some of you, what, at like 4 a.m. here coming up to start lining up.
Too late. You know someone will be in line before that.
Yeah, you might be. It might be 10 o'clock tonight.
I don't know. Have a little camp out.
You got to get your necessities, though, for game day, including Chiefs Super Bowl champions gear, everything you need for football season to kick off at Rally House. 16 area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. We were joking a little bit, though, during the break, just about Felix and Udike Uzama, because we had a listener earlier stop by. He was buying a Felix FAU jersey.
Not a family member, right?
No, dude, looks stitched.
Not a family member. Okay.
He's an FAU guy. And I'm assuming he's a Wildcat
K-State fan. Yeah, K-State fan. Got it.
And then he came by and dropped off a note, Nate. The note said, Felix, 6 sacks this year from Chief John. Your reaction.
Please. I'll take it. Take it right now. Can I click my heels and book it?
I'd lock it in.
Yeah, lock it in.
I'd lock in like 5.
I'd lock in 4.
Right, because I think people forget, as good as George Karloftis has been, he wasn't like a great rookie. He was great because he was durable and he got better as the season went on.
And he was the high motor thing really came true, where he got a couple of sacks just from like never giving up.
Right, so can Felix sort of replicate that this season? Please, if you do that, then, you know, especially if he does it early in the year, right? Because Charles Omenihu probably won't come back till like after Halloween.
Okay.
Would be my guess as of right now. But yeah, do that, do that. Get us five. Felix, do right by John, okay? John still believes in you, okay?
Yeah.
And we are usually optimistic, but I saw the preseason games, okay?
I'm a realist.
So, yeah, I'm going to take that six immediately.
I can, as we're talking, I don't know if you guys can sense it, as we're talking here at Rally House, even though I can't see him, I can sense a huge grin and smile on Drew Nixon's face, our producer. Can you guys
see? I saw the news. Jamar Chase is back in practice.
Did you see the news?
I told you guys.
Jamar Chase decided to actually go and play football.
I told you.
And he's at practice. Drew's so excited right now.
From day one, I've said he's playing in week one. It's going to be fine. He'll be all right.
Why? They play the Patriots. He doesn't.
He can make a real point of something.
Yes.
And the only time to hold out is when you're on your rookie deal. You don't want to cost you $6 million like Trent Williams.
Right. You already know what's going to happen, though. They did it last year with Joe Burrow. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, the petty Cincinnati Bengals.
Bad behavior.
That is ridiculous.
The petty Cincinnati Bengals are going to announce it.
Nobody's going to pay attention to it if that happens. Nobody cares. For the 5 minutes before the game, they care, and then they don't care once the game starts.
For context, Drew is very accurate. When the Joe Burrow deal came out, as they were literally unveiling a new banner, how dare you, Cincinnati?
The petty Bengals, baby.
And then the best part about it was the following week, because I was pretty convinced that, like, had the Chiefs beat the Detroit Lions, that the Chiefs would come out the next day and said, like, boom, new money, most new money ever for a quarterback. They had to wait a week because they did it. They did it literally hours after beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah.
Said, here's our win and that. Are you
right?
So Cincinnati's interesting because a lot of it depends on the health level of Joe Burrow. For the most part, their talent is close. I still think they have problems on offensive and defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see? We've asked this question to Ross Tucker, and I'll ask it to anybody we've talked to on the show leading up to it. Who do you see as the one or two biggest competitors for the Chiefs in the AFC this year? Is it tomorrow night's opponent? Is it the Bengals?
Is it the
Bills again, you know?
I mean, based on schedule, the strength of their roster, the infrastructure of the organization, I really do think it is probably Baltimore. And, of course, it's hard to say, like, whoever wins tomorrow, you know, has the inside track to the one seed. I mean, there's still 16 games left. But I do think Baltimore's probably their biggest challenge because I think Baltimore gained a level of experience that Buffalo does not have, that Cincinnati is kind of having to go through again with the transitional.
Only has about half of their roster, maybe.
Yes, from that 2021 team that went to the Super Bowl. So I think Baltimore mostly kept things intact. It's unfortunate that Mike McDonald obviously became the head coach in Seattle, but they have the experience last year of okay, now we know really what it takes to win an AFC championship game if we have to face the Chiefs again, right?
And I love the addition of Henry.
Yes. And
if they actually run the ball in big-time games.
In January.
I think that's one of the lessons Nate's talking about, the running the AFC championship.
So, again, can you get Derrick Henry to remain healthy throughout the course of the season? Obviously, Lamar Jackson is one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league. I give them the biggest benefit of the doubt because they have just a really, really good roster top to bottom. For Cincinnati, it really does come down to really like three guys. And this is their last hurrah together, most likely, for Joe Burrow, Chase, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins. Like, you know, T. Higgins is probably on his way to making legitimate money.
Mixon already left.
As a free agent, Mixon has already left. And so can those guys overcome some of the deficiencies they'll have on defense this year and compete against the Baltimore Ravens for that division? I don't know. Now, I know some people are probably thinking, well, what about Houston, right? There is some legitimacy to the Houston Texans. I think C.J. Stroud is amazing. I don't think Stephon Diggs has anything left, guys.
I think he's cooked.
I think he's absolutely cooked. And
Now, when you say nothing left,
I don't think he has.
Like,
any,
are we You don't think he's got a 1,000-yard season him anymore?
Can you count on Stephon Diggs from week one
I don't think
the AFC
yes.
Championship
I
game?
Think if the team is winning games, yes. I think he's the guy where if the team's winning games, but the minute anything goes south, he's done.
Okay.
I think he's done. I think I'm a little more optimistic that Stephon Diggs is going to help them this year than others.
Because that's their big – that's honestly one of their big pieces.
He's had 1,000 yards every year since 2018, and he just turned 30, right? He'll be 30.
I just don't think – it's like anywhere close to the player he used to be.
Yeah, and it's
unfortunate.
I think
it's starting to show.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but there's a reason why Buffalo was willing to trade him.
Well, I think they were willing to trade him because him and Josh Allen weren't getting along either.
Right.
And they're always going to choose the quarterback.
Right, and they wanted to get younger at the position too, which is fine. I don't know.
Okay.
I would say probably, again, Baltimore, Houston, just because that quarterback is – my God,
yeah, he's so good.
And then maybe Cincinnati. You know, I think if the Chargers had a better defense, I would say maybe them into the mix. But I think they're still probably a year away in their full rebuild with Jim Harbaugh. Outside of that, man, it's hard to see anybody. Like, Tennessee could be like...
With Will Levis.
Like, some teams could be good.
Yeah.
Colts could be good.
Colts could be good.
I think
Colts
could be good.
Could be a wild card.
Do you know any Colts defender by name?
No.
Leonard still play for them?
No.
No, he's ongoing.
No, I mean, which is kind of like, it's the force Buckner's still there, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the only one I know. So, I mean, I'm going to have to see it, Indianapolis, is what I'm saying.
I'm thinking of older guys, too. Rock Yassine, is he still there? Something, you know? These guys are long gone.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, again, yeah. I think the Chiefs are winning the division. I know somebody on the text line says, well, what about the New York Jets? Can he play 5 snaps this season? Okay, can Aaron Rodgers get through Monday night?
I like how we spent – you know what part of it drives me crazy?
Because he's 40 coming off an Achilles.
That's the thing. There are exceptions to the rule, and I've made it very clear. I think Travis is the age exception to the rule. Because someone's like,
right.
Well, the best season ever for a 36-year-old tight end is 910 yards. I'm like, yeah, the old record for 1,000-yard seasons was 4.
Right.
It's now 8. He's the exception to the rule.
Yes.
So maybe Aaron Rodgers is, but we say father time a lot for just ignoring it with Rodgers.
He's never had an Achilles injury. I think people do not understand how difficult it is to play football coming off an Achilles injury when you're that old.
Can I also point out that in his last 3 seasons, his deep passing game stinks?
Well,
like, the percentages support that Aaron Rodgers has not been good at throwing the ball deep. You know maybe why?
Because
it's hard to throw the ball deep when you get old.
Right, and your arm starts to – you start to feel it in your arm. So, I don't – again, I want to see it from the Jets. I get it. You know, Miami could still be very good because they have the skill set and the weapons.
Yeah, they'll be good in September and October.
And I knew you were going to say that, sir.
I
just knew Mr. Gold right on time. Telling us that, like, hey, is the calendar turning November yet? Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, their coach straight up admitted still that it was too cold.
Man, I just love that Hard Knocks, like, because they were the in-season team last year, and I did rewatch that this past offseason. I was like, let me rewatch this again just to refresh my memory about how cold it was. None of them dudes were there. They were none of them were mentally there.
No.
They were physically there, but they were all mentally like, this is too much. So it'd be nice. It would actually be nice if the Dolphins won the division, had a home playoff game in Miami in January, and then, like, hey, who knows? Are you the 2 seed? Maybe you get to host another one. Like, you know, maybe you could go far because they clearly have an offense that's capable of going far in the postseason.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with us here at Rally House Oak Park location on Cody and Gold. So we asked you in camp what we thought the kickoffs could look like. We saw in preseason way more returns.
Mm-hmm.
I have said multiple times that I'm skeptical that it actually is working. The numbers show, more returns, but if I look at return yardage and they're returning on average like the 28-yard line, I would just kick the ball in the end zone every single time.
Mm.
Right now there's 80% of all kicks being returned. I think that number is dipping big time, maybe not to last year's level.
Right.
But to act like, oh, it's just fixed. If I'm any coach, if the teams are returning it to the 29 anyway, I'm not risking one missed tackle for a long return or touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that they – quite didn't get right with this rule change, right? You have to penalize the team a little bit more if they're going to kick it through the end zone.
Agreed.
Right? So that may be the fix they'll make towards next season, but I think if any game is close, or let's say your coverage team got burned in week 2, right? why would we let you return it in week three? You know, and so the numbers might be skewed just because you know how coaches are when they react to things that they can't quite control.
Yeah.
Why would I do that again? Why would can our if our kicker can't get it to the end zone, then we need to find a new kicker. Like it's easier to do that yeah. or someone on the roster who can do that more than, you know, the additional guy on the practice squad who's there for special team coverages, right? So I understand that the league is so adamant, and I think the league is being very forceful in telling the coaches, at least throughout September, please just give us a chance. Like, please give us a chance so that the game can be more exciting, so that people don't have to get up and go to the bathroom after a touchdown or a field yeah. goal. Like, we just want to have the play come back to, like, normalcy or relevance to some degree, because I have to tell people all the time, the reason this rule exists is because there were no kickoff returns in the Super Bowl. Not a single one. And that game went into overtime. We had five quarters of the most important football game in the NFL.
To the last second overtime.
Yes. And there were no kickoffs that were returned. So that's why this rule is existing. And I just think there's going to be quite the combativeness between the league office and various coaching staffs being like, well, hey, man, we just gave up a 70-yard return. And it may have flipped the entire momentum of the game. Why? No, I don't want. I don't want to promote this rule, though. If my coaches. Team's going to not benefit from it, so if that is indeed the case, we're gonna see coaches, I think, start to realize that it's okay to get penalized 5 yards and be okay with kicking the ball through the end zone, probably by about mid-October, Halloween time, where you're like, okay, I don't need to deal with this headache on top of how I'm trying to coach my team to fix our other deficiencies.
My whole hope with it, though, is that they would, you know, they would kind of embrace the opportunity to actually do something big with it. And the numbers support that. The difference between getting the ball at the 25 and the 30 is like a 5 to 7% better chance you score the football.
Mm.
So you're giving up a lot on defense by putting it at the 30. The other part is, well, I don't want any coach talking about three phases anymore. You're just eliminating a phase. And no more talking to me about the three phases of the game, because right. apparently you don't want one.
Right. I mean, I got really upset the first kickoff of the preseason, where, you know, when the team still had Louis Riesemann, God bless him, and they told him not to return it. And I was like, what are we
Everything
doing?
Everything should be returned.
Everything should be returned in the preseason so that we have, like, actual tape. Now, Dave Tobias told us, hey, we got some tricks now. We got some tricks.
We got some stuff we think we
could
do.
We got some stuff we could do. You know, I think some of that hinged on Lewis making the roster because he had the ability to, you know, lateral the ball as a former rugby star. But, yeah, let's do the end arounds. Let's do the fakes that we make the team think this guy's returning it, but in actuality it's this guy returning
sure.
it. You know, you can't set up the wedge anymore, which is what led to a lot of Dante Hall's great work, because he would work off the wedge. Hey, the wedge is going to be blocking the left side. I ain't going left. I'm doing my own thing. So who knows who that returner will be, but the league is hoping to find that next Devin Hester, that next Dante Hall, someone who can make returning the actual football
sure.
interesting, cool again.
Do me a favor. I missed out. The other day I was looking for chairs on Facebook Marketplace, and I swear to God I saw it. It was too late. It got sold. A stitched LRZ Chiefs jersey. And I was like, we need that for the Cody and Gold Garage.
Are you serious?
So if you see one on someone's back, you see one for sale somewhere,
yeah.
you give me that LRZ jersey for the Cody and Gold Garage sale.
How can we compensate you?
What was the price they listed it for?
$60.
Stitch? Oh, so they got most of the return back.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to figure out who ordered this?
That?
That was a swimsuit model. Was this the girl you took to Worlds of Fun? Like, what was this?
Great. Someone was just convinced LRZ was the truth. They were going to be the first person on it.
Yes.
They might have been the only person who ordered that
maybe,
jersey.
In fairness, maybe they were Welsh, right?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is.
Right.
Or they
know about his exploits overseas in rugby. I mean, he was really good in rugby. I remember watching the highlights and being like,
"Oh, everybody,
hey, you sure you want to do this?"
Don't you think, though, for all the conspiracy theorists out there with the whole Taylor Swift Travis Kelce thing, is anybody else going to just flat out admit the NFL purposely has him in Jacksonville now to play two games in London?
That's a great conspiracy. I think like, he chose Jacksonville for that reason.
Yes, he was sweet talked into it. And we'll sweeten the deal, Lewis, and have you be a receiver. You know,
yeah, they labeled him as wide receiver.
You know, you don't have to run through the hole anymore because there were some rough moments. In
he had some bad.
Like, I never played football. American football.
Right, never played football before. Yeah. So, hey, kid. Now, hopefully, whatever Mac Jones or C.J. Beathard or whoever, hopefully they don't throw you a hospital ball, you know, and you won't get killed. But, hey, it is a little easier running routes, trying to find open space to catch the football and then run after the catch first.
LRZ is going to get a touchdown in the Jags London game this year.
So you're saying, obviously he's on the practice squad right now.
They're going to elevate him for the London game, of course.
He'll be the returner, And then they'll do like
have something drawn. Doug Peterson will have
one little like something from the 2 yard line.
Yeah.
He's going to get a touchdown in
what
London.
What would the odds be on that?
I don't know. I'll bet it right now if they let me.
101 because Gold's betting it 6 weeks in advance when he's not on the active roster.
Let me bet a practice squad player. That's right. The one time where he's going to get elevated.
Right.
And they
they're like, sir, do you know someone with insider information?
Yeah, they're going to lock his account. He's too sure.
I'm sorry. That seems quite far-fetched at this point in the calendar.
Oh, my goodness.
They just take up residency over there anyway, so you knew that they were going to think LRZ was
a good
fit.
How you going to get sweet talked by the Jacksonville Jaguars?
It's because of that.
Good.
I mean, I think that's what it is.
I mean, it's true.
Oh, sick.
I mean, he gets to go to, you know, Florida, fine. Gets to be a receiver.
He feels like more of a California, Florida guy anyway, you know?
He's so gorgeous. And I'm dead serious, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a handsome
man. Look that man in the face
good-looking
and tell
guy.
Me. Yeah. You could get away with so much, sir.
He's got great hair.
Again, he went to Worlds of Fun with like a swimsuit supermodel or something, right? Wasn't that the story for
the side? Is that where you go on your dates?
All the time. I mean,
he loves roller coasters.
Yeah, he did talk about that.
Yeah, he loves roller coasters. So, you know, roller coasters and women. He's a thrill seeker.
But he's decided he's going to play NFL football. I respect his game.
Yeah, right. You look that good? Yeah, I'll put myself in danger. Why? You could be on the cover of other sports magazines.
I'd be in that T.O. hyperbaric chamber taking care of my body if I looked like him. You'd see me out in the sun. I'd wear a sun hat.
Yeah, like it's amazing. I will give him a ton of respect. He got through an Andy Reid training camp. That's difficult. Like, Kadarius Toney got hurt again. Like,
John Ross, the other Ross, a year ago, quit.
He quit.
He's back for the Eagles, isn't he?
Briefly on Tony.
He was like, God, this is hard. And so I do give him a lot of respect for being a former rugby player who got through an entire Andy Reid training camp.
This will be the last thing we ever mention on Tony in the show because he's not a member of the team. He'll never be a member of the team ever again. But what Brett Veach said about him is that the most critical Brett Veach has ever been about a player ever. And he said it gently. He said, he got to work on taking care of himself. He pretty much buried him for not working hard enough, didn't he?
It's not great. There were rumblings during training camp of, you know, he could practice today. And it was just like,
won't battle through, huh?
It's like, come on, guys. Again, I'm not him. I don't know his body. I don't know what he's feeling.
But you know when the team starts feeling that way.
But
it's not
coach
good.
Is like, we kind of need you out here, dog. So yeah. That was rough. That was really rough.
We finally made it, man. Good to have you here on site, and then we'll see you tomorrow out at Arrowhead.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic. He joins us each and every week here on the show. Thanks to Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We're back in studio tomorrow. It will be game day. Plus, can the Royals please stop this losing streak? We're back at that tomorrow, 10-2, right here on 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.